I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, the San Antonio Spurs have called the Frost Bank Center their home court for more than 20 years. But is it time for the black and silver to move back to downtown? Bexar County voters are now being asked if the Spurs should have a new downtown arena and raising the venue tax to help pay for it. Proposition B, now on the ballot, would raise about $300 million for the endeavor. Supporters say it's about more than basketball. They argue it's an investment in the city's future, driving jobs, tourism, and economic growth while keeping the Spurs rooted in San Antonio. Opponents say public funds shouldn't be used on private companies like the Spurs. Last week, we heard from Cops Metro opposed to Prop B. Today, we hear from supporters of Prop B. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Tired of spending so much time and money on vehicle maintenance and repairs? Make this October Cartover when you donate a car, truck, or RV to TPR. Visit tpr.careasy.org or call 877-486-1227 to get started.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Proposition B, now being voted on for the November 4th election. It's asking voters if Bexar County should raise $311 million for part of the funding for a new downtown arena for the San Antonio Spurs. That arena would anchor the city's plan for Project Marvel, a downtown sports and entertainment district. Groups like Cops Metro Alliance have been vocal in an opposition to the plan. We had Cops Metro on the air last week. We heard their argument, how that money should be spent on other needs for the county. Today we hear directly from supporters of Proposition B. We're joined by Bobby Perez of the Spurs organization, former city council member. Bobby, welcome to The Source.
Good morning. Thank you for the time today.
And also Trish DeBerry, president and CEO of Centro SA and former Bexar County commissioner. And welcome back to The Source, Trish.
Good morning, Dave.
So our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or comment for our guest today about Proposition B and the Spurs and this whole idea for a new downtown arena, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And so let me ask you, Bobby, what is wrong with the Frost Bank Center where the Spurs are playing now? Why do you need to move away from there? Why do you need to upgrade?
David, that's a great question. This is a unique opportunity, not only in our franchise cycle, but also in our city cycle. Our lease ends in 2032. And as we plan and think about next generation, not only for the MBA cycle, but for the community, the opportunity to redevelop the southeast quadrant of downtown came up, and we're excited about that and the opportunity to reinvest and build new.
So according to a survey by ESPN Insiders, this was in October 2024, the Frost Bank Center ranked last among NBA arenas that they assessed. Overall evaluation, looking at things, where it ranked last was accessibility and location, food and concessions. It also ranked last the overall experience. It ranked 21st out of 29. So it gets a bad grade for the overall fan experience at the Frost Bank Center today. Can you talk about that? And do you think that that has been a constraining factor for growing the Spurs?
So it's a great point and a reminder of how facilities have changed in the last 25 years. The events that we run and operate, whether it's music or professional sports, is all about the experience for the fan. And that fan journey starts from when you leave your house to when you go to the Frost Bank Center today and making sure that it's wonderful and great and that you will come back. And for us, we work very hard on that. So that article was always tough to take. We think we can be better, and we're going to try to be better as we go forward for this season. But we also think that Proposition B allows us to make one of those great fan experiences in downtown San Antonio. I would say out of all 30 NBA teams, just about everybody's in downtown.
Trish DeBerry, moving it downtown, mm-hmm. How do you think that changes the fan experience?
it rapidly enhances the overall experience because you have restaurants that you're able to go to that will be nearby. You can go to the game. You might be able to go to a bar afterwards. You might even decide, you know, we're going to stay for a weekend because there's a lot going on in the urban core. So that kind of opportunity doesn't exist right now where the arena is currently located. People go, and I've gone to games, taken my kids. You go to the game, you get in your car, and you leave. And then you look for other opportunities to be able to spend your money in places either in the neighborhood in which you live, or maybe you might come back into downtown. But a majority of major cities and peer cities in the country have stadiums in the urban core. So there will be activation inspired as a result of greatly leaning into the hospitality industry that has made us so famous in San Antonio. And from an economic development standpoint, we look at really the millions of dollars that come in with the Final Four every 4 to 5 years. Once we're amped up and running, we could see that annually with the arena being back in downtown.
So you think we'll have a multiplier effect for downtown
absolutely.
Economic development?
Yeah. And for instance, we haven't been able to have an NBA All-Star Weekend in San Antonio and downtown in a very long time, primarily because it happens in February, which is when the rodeo road trip occurs and the Spurs are gone. And that creates complexities. So we'll have the opportunity to bring events back to San Antonio that we've had to forego because of sharing the space, which Bobby can talk a little bit more about. It's a good problem to have, right? The rodeo's been uber successful. Spurs have too. They've outgrown those grounds in sharing that space.
All right, we can talk about that a little bit more, but let's go to some callers. The number is 833-877-8255. And Robert, first in the queue. Robert, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Look, I'm 73. I have worked downtown for 45 years in the ground transportation industry. And as a business owner, the city has never given me a plug nickel to run my business. I think the same should apply for the Spurs, especially being that this is their fourth venue. And as far as if the experience being bad in the east side over there by the AT&T, the only reason it's bad is because the Spurs did not honor what they said they were going to do. They said they were going to develop.
Okay, that was his phone.
It's
not us. We didn't cut him off, but I think we made the point. So, Robert, thank you for the call. It was your phone that gave out, not us. Bobby Pettis, what kind of, in 1999, when we had the other election to create the arena, which became the AT&T Center, now the Frost Bank Center, what kind of promises were actually made at that time?
In 1999, the promises between the city and the county and the Spurs were some aspirational goals to redevelop the east side. The contractual goals were about spending back on local workforce. And proudly, that's something we've done over the last 25 years to the tune of $175 million. What we'll make better this time is, and I hear what Robert's saying, and what we'll make better, and that's in the document today, is a requirement to build out infrastructure of at least $1.4 billion. That's new taxable real value that we'll be required to do in order to get access to funding for an arena. And then we'll have to fund the arena, our part of the arena, and fund all the overruns. We've learned from what didn't work in the past. We're applying it to today.
Getting back to the idea of a fan experience, how do the Spurs look at that? Having the Frost Bank Center where it is, not having all of the surrounding entertainment opportunities. And the Spurs, the number one objective for the Spurs is to win games, but it's also to provide an enriching fan experience. And you get high marks for a culture of the Spurs, but you're looking at what you have at that location. Was that a missed opportunity?
For sure.
There was very little to work with, though.
Yeah, for sure. I would ask you and your listeners to think about and envision a concept where there's plazas and splash pads and public space and public art that you're able to wander through, even if you're not a basketball fan. And think of the games or the days that there's no basketball or sporting events, where there's yoga in the park, where there's Dia de los Muertos going on in the adjacent side.
Diwali.
Everything. Yeah. And it's a great opportunity to build on to what we're doing today in San Antonio and even grow better and bigger.
All right, we'll talk about that some more. We got a lot of other calls. We'll get you on the air when we come back from the break talking about Proposition B. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies in the studio with Bobby Pettis with the Spurs organization. Former city council member Trish DeBerry's here, president and CEO of Central SA and former Bexar County commissioner. They are in favor of Proposition B. We're talking about they're taking questions, they're giving answers from their point of view about supporting the proposition that would raise $311 million for part of the funding for a new downtown arena for the Spurs. And we're taking your calls. The number is 833-877-8255. Let's go to Andrew. Andrew, you're up. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. As a landowner around the downtown area, my question today is, or maybe you can better explain, how is that piece of land been taxed, and now that it is proposed to be the future site of the Spurs, how would that land be taxed, and what is the what's the city's benefit in that?
Whereabouts in this land? Whereabouts downtown, Andrew?
I'm talking about the future site that was taken down and is being proposed.
Okay, all right. I thought you were talking about your own personal land. All right, so Trish DeBerry, can you respond to that?
Yeah, I'll try to. That land, really, the Institute of Texan Cultures was owned by the University of Texas Board of Regents and has been for a very long time. We know the ITC suffered, obviously, the antiquities that were in there regarding HVAC issues. By the way, ITC, when it was built during Hemisphere, was only supposed to be a temporary structure. So it long outlasted where, you know, it was supposed to journey to become the Institute of Texan Cultures. But I believe under the purview of UT, it was tax exempt. Yes. When the Board of Regents made the decision, there is a higher and better purpose associated with this property. You know, then they began looking at what could the opportunities be. And they've been looking at this for probably 2 or 3 years. I mean, at one point, when I was a commissioner, there was conversations about maybe a hotel going there. So there have long been conversations about what would go there to make it taxable. So this conversation, obviously, regarding the arena came up. It is a very valuable piece of real estate, 14 acres. Spurs are talking about more than that, 60 acres, that obviously will be taxable value. But that taxable value, property taxes by developers, will then be repaid to the $489 million regarding the bonds of the city. So I'll allow you to weigh in, Bobby.
Yeah. Right, so the arena is going to be owned by the city county.
Yeah, and so let me go back to your caller's question, though. And so today, all the land that we're talking about, the land for the arena and the new development land, is owned either by the city of San Antonio, University of Texas San Antonio, or the federal government. There is no taxes being paid at all. Zero.
Tax exempt.
And in the future, the new structure, even with the publicly owned arena, we'll pay a lease, we'll pay all the operations, but we will also pay all taxes. And we'll have to pay taxes on the new development. And then all the things that go inside the arena, the office equipment, the computers, we pay tax, just like today, we pay taxes every year. The only taxpayer on the new development is going to be the San Antonio Spurs, not you or I, not your caller. And that's the beauty of the deal and the fairness of the deal.
All right, another caller, Dale. Dale, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm worried about what happens when the construction for this arena goes over budget. Are we going to be on the hook for even more money?
All right, Dale, thank you for that question. According to the agreement that was penciled out by the city, the Spurs are there for all the overage.
That is correct.
And looking at the way things are going with inflation and tariffs, I mean, the overage mm-hmm. could actually be substantial.
That is absolutely correct. And to Dale's question, we have represented, we will contractually guarantee it, that we were responsible not only for our share of the arena building, but also all the overruns, not the taxpayer. And then we're also going to be responsible for all the operational costs, not the taxpayer.
Okay. And let's go to the next would be Garrett. And Garrett, you're on the air. Go ahead, Garrett.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Just to start off, I am going to say that I am pro props A and B. I am in favor of it. I'm about to be 38 years old. I'm born and raised in San Antonio. But I will say I have spent a significant amount of time in most major U.S. cities. And it is a bit frustrating when you come home and you ask yourself, why can't we have these amenities or the walkability like these other cities? Most recently, I've been to Detroit, Michigan. Keep in mind, they're much more poor than San Antonio, and it's not a secret they have an issue with crime. They started bringing their sports teams back to the downtown arena, and what I could gather from locals there is that it's much safer, local business is thriving, and people are coming from outside of Detroit and Michigan to go to these sporting events and enjoy their downtown. I had a blast when I was there. I'd love to see it for San Antonio. My main question is the economic study that was completed, that's great. I'm wondering, is there any other data or resources that you can direct the naysayers to? And I would like to encourage everybody to go look at downtown Detroit, do some research. They're doing some great things. We can do it too. Thank you.
All right, mm-hmm. Garrett, thank you for that great call. So Trish DeBerry, I mean, you know downtown, CEO, Centro SA. Can you talk about, I mean, you wrote an opinion piece in the paper in August about that?
Yeah. Well, I think if you went onto our website, you would be able to see really the value of downtown and the impact study that we've done almost every year, if not every other year. What it reveals is that downtown is an economic engine for the rest of the city, primarily because of the amount of property tax that is collected. Hotels, Riverwalk, tourists coming into downtown, which also, by the way, makes it very expensive to develop in downtown. But from a regional business zone standpoint, we are number one. And so I want to emphasize the point, and Detroit is a great example. The point I want to make, over 30 years, this project will bring about almost $400 million that will be contributed to the city's general fund. That money is then deployed where? Across the city in bond projects, infrastructure, streets, drainage, parks. But he's absolutely right about downtown Detroit. When manufacturing went south regarding cars, they had to figure out how to reinvent themselves. The beauty of Detroit, though, is they've got a lot more billionaires, I've studied them, than San Antonio does. So they have been able to ramp up a lot more quickly, especially post-COVID, than San Antonio has. But people will say, stop investing in downtown, we've done enough. No, no, no. I argue just the opposite. Because of what we do and how we impact the rest of the city, we should never stop ideating, innovating, or investing in downtown, because we spread the wealth across the entire city.
I wonder about Hemisphere 1968. Unfortunately, right. I'm old enough to remember all that.
Right.
And San Antonio was extremely impoverished at that time. Yet the city went ahead with Hemisphere 68. That's when, that was the Texas Pavilion, mm-hmm. Became the Institute of Texan Cultures. So at the time, there was controversy whether this in CBS News did a documentary about mm-hmm. it, you know, Hunger in America, looking at San Antonio and Hemisphere at the same time. But and you can make that really strong argument that it was inappropriate. Yet, Hemisphere has paid so many dividends since you know, the groundbreaking for 68, you know, and is, can that same argument be made today, Trish, for what we're talking about here?
Yeah. First of all, I want to couch this as this economic development aspirational opportunity, really, to bring the arena back into downtown and lean into tourism in a very big way and capitalize on the existing foot traffic, 7.3 million visitors that come to San Antonio every year that might be able to take in a game at the arena or the baseball stadium. But we also need to be tackling things like hunger, things like poverty, and what we're doing, and homelessness, for example. We can do both, right? We can be aspirational, but we can clearly double down on the issues that are greatly affecting and impacting our community. So my bottom line point is, this is not an either-or conversation. This is an and conversation. And how do we deploy resources to be able to tackle not just economic development, but some of the issues that are far-reaching that impact our city today? But to your point about Hemisphere, Spurs are a global brand. And from an international visitation standpoint, you can't go to Spain without obviously people talking about, or Argentina, Manu. You can't go to France without them talking about Tony Parker, right? So the brand that it's brought to San Antonio internationally is unparalleled. And so that's a huge benefit to all of us.
Let's go to another caller. We have Aaron. Aaron, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say big supporter of anything downtown. I mean, man, the Spurs being downtown, tied into the Riverwalk, amazing thing to do. You know, I've been to the AT&T Center a couple of times myself. Recently, I went there for a Mana concert. Mm-hmm. And just after the concert ended, walking out, where are you supposed to go? You know, you're in the middle of the East Side, no development nearby. Can you imagine that, being on the Riverwalk, being able to go down to the restaurants there, give business to those businesses there? It's 101. It's a common sense 101. And, you know, just looking at the Spurs as a growth pole development engine that can add more needed business to downtown. I mean, it's something, it's a missing puzzle piece that got removed when the old Hemisphere Coliseum got taken down. Mm-hmm. And to see the new arena go up, that would be the return of that puzzle piece to the downtown, to what would make downtown. So, just thank you for taking my call.
Thank Aaron, you. Thanks for calling in. And do you want to react to that, Bobby?
I think Aaron nailed it on the head. As we talk about fan experience, that's a great example of what we have today and what we could have in the future. And so that's what we're certainly excited about, of just creating and building out some of the best fan experience in the United States.
And Trish, but people, like we had an example of this last weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Paul McCartney. We had
40,000 people.
All sorts mm-hmm. of events happening. But it was downtown was hard to navigate, hard to get around. Is downtown ready for something like that?
Well, we're going to have to get ready. Whether it's a Final Four that we're hosting or major concerts, Texas is not going to stop growing. Population growth is coming here for a variety of different reasons. San Antonio, very attractive because of the quality of life that we have here. But yes, part and parcel, Dave, of the plan regarding logistics and transportation, and really what we're doing around parking. We have leaned into a massive parking study with the city that we're about to reveal about how we make it more affordable and accessible for people. But how do we lean into micromobility options to move people and navigate people around downtown? So the devil is in the details regarding, you know, obviously my hope would be passage of A and B come about on November 4th, but then we have to start digging into the logistics and the planning process.
Dave, let me just jump in on that one, because this will be the first time in modern times that we will have a facility actually designed for microtransport, designed for rideshare. Okay. All the facilities we've been talking about were constructed and designed pre-Uber. And so today it's just different. Mm-hmm. And as we look at the opportunities for really creating an engaging environment for all, this is a great opportunity to jump on that.
Well, last week during our conversation with Cops Metro, we had a caller bring up the point that when you go to the Frost Bank Center, whoever's holding that event, where the rideshare pickup is, moves around, it changes, it's not standardized, it's not designed for it, it's confusing, and that deteriorates the fan experience, the attending experience. And so that's, you know, when you can build for these types of things, and that's probably an improvement.
Without a doubt.
Let's go take a break, and we're going to get to a bunch of other callers on the air as we discuss Proposition B. We have Bobby Pettis from the Spurs organization, Trish DeBerry, president and CEO of Central SA. They're obviously in favor of Proposition B. Last week, we did have Cops Metro on the air, and they were able to articulate their opposition to the plan. They were saying no public dollars should be spent on this private enterprise. Let's hear from you on that. And The Source will continue after this 2-minute break. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Early voting now underway for the November 4th election. There is Proposition A and Proposition B from Bexar County. It would raise the venue tax. Proposition A would raise about $200 million for improvements to the Joe Freeman Coliseum rodeo grounds. The San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo say they could use that money to create a year-round rodeo. But what we're really talking about today is Proposition B. That would raise $311 million. It is part of the funding for a new arena for the San Antonio Spurs. The proposition says it would go downtown and it would be the anchor for Project Marvel, an ambitious downtown sports and entertainment district. With me in the studio, Bobby Pettis with the Spurs organization, former city council member Trish DeBerry, president and CEO of Centro SA. They keep San Antonio downtown spick and span clean. I love those guys that you have.
Yeah, I love those guys too.
And a former Bexar County commissioner. And our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's hear your questions and comments. And Sophia, you're on the air. Sophia, go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much, guys, for having me. One of my questions is, I know that this is about the basketball arena, but I was wondering, will this project do anything to help fund education?
All right, Sophia, thank you for that. So how would this tie, are any ties to education funding? I know Proposition A, the Stock Show and Rodeo guys are saying this would generate more money for their scholarship campaigns.
Yeah.
But what can you tell them about Prop B?
I think certainly there's the opportunity to be able to tie in education, especially with, I talked about it this morning, the community benefits agreement that's been struck, $75 million, and where that money is parlayed. It could be, the mayor's talked about, you know, really an expansion of pre-K for SA. What does that look like? But there could be that opportunity, quite honestly. I need a daycare in downtown for hotel workers who need to be able to drop off their kids safely close to where they work. So, yes, I absolutely think there's an opportunity, not to mention taxes that are generated, obviously, for SAISD and the urban core, because that is the major urban district. So I think we have multiple opportunities to enhance education.
Again, let me jump on that one as well. And Sophia, great question. Today, there's no taxes being paid on the property we're talking about that go to education, that go to the city general fund, that go to the county general fund. Tomorrow, after we develop this and build it out as required, we will be paying taxes to the San Antonio Independent School District, along with the city of San Antonio and Bexar County. Right. So yes, the answer is yes, and that will drive and generate new revenue. And we did put a projected revenue number, and at public hearings, and that number over the next 30 years is in the billions of dollars for all the future economic impact.
Let's go to Ozeal. Ozeal, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. I was asking, there used to be an arena downtown. Why didn't they have enough foresight to build a stadium there, not an arena, a stadium, and develop that area into a bigger entity? Now we have the Alamo Dome, which with the Spurs played. Then now they jumped to the Frost Center. Okay, my big problem is everybody on the east side thought they envisioned they was going to be redeveloped. They moved further out to the east. right? I don't live on the east side, but still, I got a problem with that. You know, now you're jumping back into downtown area. I mean, you guys aren't thinking. And it's not about the money, because I know supposedly we're not going to be paying for it. But at the end of the day, I mean, come on. You build people's hopes up.
All right, Ozeal, thank you for that. So the original arena that got swallowed up by the expansion of the convention center, and then the Spurs played for a while at the Alamo Dome. It had that big blue curtain cutting it off. Remember mm-hmm. that? And then they said we needed to have a dedicated arena just for basketball playing. And that's when, in 1999, we had the county vote for building the what became the AT&T Center and now the Frost Bank Center. And so, I mean, at the time, I was like, this is a mistake. I knew it wasn't going mm-hmm. to work. But, you know, this is what the people wanted. They voted for it. But you want to respond to that, Bobby?
I think, Ozeal, I also hear what you're saying. I think this today, we'll be 30-plus years down the road from what got constructed on the east side. And our community has grown exponentially. Today, we share that facility with the rodeo. And this is also as much as a discussion about the future growth. The rodeo can get bigger, and today only has 30 days. And they want to get bigger, and they want to operate year-round. And so this will allow more vibrancy at that site. We want to grow. When we moved into the SBC Center, we had 60 employees. Today we have 500. And we want to grow. And this is a story about two long San Antonio companies that have been here for decades that are growing with our city, one of the fastest growing places in the United States. And we are asking everybody to vote for AMB and take those tourist dollars and help the city grow even more and more thoughtfully.
All right, now to Randy. And Randy, thanks for calling in. You're on the air, Randy, go ahead.
Okay, great, thanks. This whole thing smacks of selective socialism and a version of subsidized business on public nickels. The state venue tax law that can provide the public dollars was written by and for businesses and should be stricken. Business continues to avoid being good citizens. One example is Caliber Collision of Dallas. They own and rent the property on the newly renovated Broadway. It's prime real estate and with a nice building on it, yet they only pay a little over property tax on a little over $200,000 valuation for a lot that's over 100 by 200 feet, and it's got a nice building on it, and that's where all those flyers are coming from that say vote yes. Well, it's people from outside of San Antonio that want to come down to and take money from, it's not just visitors, it's about 15% of that comes from people who have family, friends, and business affiliates that use those venue taxed features, and then to jack it up from 12 to 17%, that's okay. A huge amount. If I was looking to come to San Antonio for an event, I wouldn't come here because of the huge expense of it.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, Randy, thank you for your call. A lot there to work with. So let's talk about, first of all, he started off with a very broad premise about this with socialism somehow. But this is what the law was actually written for, so that you could raise money for these types of things, right, that would grow the tourism industry and bring more people mm-hmm. to your hotels. Do you want to respond to that, Trish?
Sure. Well, every other major city in Texas is utilizing this funding mechanism. So I heard him say 12 to 17%. I'm not quite sure where he was coming from that, because the hot tax is going from 1.75 up to 2%, which, by the way, Houston, Austin, and Dallas have had it there for some time. That equates to about 50 cents more on an average hotel bill. The rental car stays the same at 5%. I'm going to backtrack a little bit because in a former life, I had my own agency and worked on the prior visitor tax election that brought the Tobin Center, Mission Reach of the Riverwalk, youth soccer fields. Overwhelmingly, obviously passed with a positive. But if folks were so upset and up in arms regarding that visitor tax or venue tax at that time, or even over the years that it was paid for, I would think there would have been a lot of argument, consternation, torches lit in the streets, but we are benefiting greatly from the passage of that visitor tax, you know, 14, 15 years ago. So we're talking about deploying it in a different way, obviously in downtown, but I believe it's the right thing to do because at the end of the day, I think the ROI is there. And it is a majority of taxation on visitors that come to our city, but it doesn't price them out of the market.
So it does increase the county's hotel occupancy venue tax by raising the hotel tax portion up 2%, bringing the total up to 17% from all of the different sources. It does authorize the county's short-term motor vehicle rental tax up to 5% as part of the funding mechanism. So those are the details. And so the question is, does this make us uncompetitive? They've done studies and say this is basically what's happening across the board wherever you go. Let's try and get some more callers. Let's go to Judy. And Judy, you're on the air.
Hi. I called last week about parking. Now I understand that the bridge over 281 is not going to be built. It was to be paid for by city money that the federal government is no longer giving to the city. So how are people supposed to get from the Alamo Dome parking lot to the new arena on the other side of 281?
All right, Judy, thank you for that. So there was going to be a land bridge, no more, because of federal dollars. Mm-hmm. They're going away. So talk about the walkability of the project.
So, Judy, thank you for the question. As we think about the future, we think that connectivity between the east side and downtown is critical. And so we think there's a great opportunity to figure out how we're moving people from the Alamo Dome site to the east side to the new Sports Entertainment District site. And if you were talking about transportation and traffic last week, this is part of that solution. The Robert Thompson Transit Center, that via park and ride, which has been underutilized for quite some time, great opportunity to reinvigorate
it. It's being reactivated.
Reactivate it. And you have to have people moving back and forth.
I've heard people complain that when you do park and ride, that when you do ride home part of it, it leaves really early, and so you don't have an opportunity to kind of enjoy the space afterwards. So maybe we can talk about having some late departures.
Yeah, back to fan experience, right? How do you make it great for the fans?
All right, so let's take a break here. It's a one-minute break. A lot of callers want to get you on the air. Tell us yay, nay for Prop B. What's your logic? What's your question? This is a community conversation. It's The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Trista Berry in the studio with us, president and CEO of Central SA, former Bexar County Commissioner Bobby Pettis of the Spurs organization, former city council member. District 1, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Go District 1. So the issues that Cops Metro had brought up quite a bit is that this is money that they would rather spend in other things in Bexar County, like more parks, streets and sidewalks, things like that, and not spend it on what they see as, you know, we have billionaires who own the Spurs and things, and they think that that's probably, they should pay for the whole thing. So, Bobby Pettis, why aren't the Spurs just paying for the arena entirely themselves, and why not have these dollars, you know, go to all these other issues?
Let me hit that first. The last part first. That's the misinformation that we've been talking to people about. This funding source is the visitor funding source is restricted. It's not our rule. It's not the city's rule. It's not the county's rule. It's the state of Texas's rule. You cannot use it for streets, roads, police, or fire. And that is it. And so that is the factual truth. And we hope that when people go to the ballot box, they know that and they take a look at that and they study that because it says it in the ballot language. It's a visitor-funded exercise. The second part with respects to how come we're not paying for our own arena, as we look across the country, and I'd ask the voters to study this as well, and we'll use Oklahoma City as the closest example and the most recent example, that Oklahoma City community voted for the Oklahoma City Thunder to fund $1 billion arena on a sales tax. That's the one that's right out of your pocket, my pocket, to the tune of $950, $975 million. The team is putting in $50 to $75 million. And that is the operational model for the small market teams in the NBA is publicly funded facilities. We were talking about Detroit earlier. I'll add Indianapolis. I'll add Milwaukee, Minnesota. Publicly funded facilities for smaller markets to stay competitive, to keep these type of opportunities going, requires a public funding strategy.
Trish DeBerry, let's get some frank talk here, because Bobby can't tell me what I want to hear, because he's going to tell me, well, this, you know, the Spurs are going to stay here forever and it's all happy wappy, but we know better.
Yep.
That if the Spurs got a better deal, they knew that it's not working for them here in San Antonio anymore, this prop fails, they go someplace else. That is something, a real possibility. We have to think about that.
It is a real possibility.
How would that play for San Antonio in the future? I mean, we no longer have a Red McCombs or Angelo Drosso, some people like that that brought the Spurs here.
Yeah, it would not play well to the future of San Antonio. As we talked earlier about what the franchise has meant to San Antonio's heart and soul, I go back to every championship that we have won, people have been honking their horns and waving flags. Where? In downtown. Not necessarily over on the east side where the arena is, but that cultural opportunity, soul-fulfilling, just awesome celebration is going to be hard to replace if the Spurs were to leave. I mean, you can't put a dollar figure on their departing San Antonio. It's huge. I mean, when I was a county commissioner, I said from the dais, it would be soul-crushing for the Spurs to leave San Antonio. And to your point, Dave, yes, they are a business enterprise at the end of the day. So if Prop A and B don't pass, you can bet you're going to have Vegas rolling out the red carpet, who are dying to have an NBA franchise. And I know people don't want to say that or hear that, but the truth of the matter is there are a limited number of NBA franchises, and there are a few cities, one of them being Oakland, another one that let one go, that would love it to come back. But as a ownership enterprise, and by the way, Holtz are not majority owners anymore, that group is going to have to take a hard look at offers that come to them if we don't get this in place and get this done. So it's naive to think that they would not take a look at other offers.
Another caller, let's go to Laura. Laura, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hello, and thank you for having me. I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a San Antonio citizen, and I feel that we will be paying for this because we do use our downtown. We do go to the restaurants. We have to use parking. If we wanted to live in New York or Chicago and have to pay $20 for a 15-minute parking downtown, then that's where we would be. And that's what this is, what's going to happen to us. We're going to end up having to be paying this ridiculous amount of money just to go and see our own downtown, go enjoy our own downtown, as well as it's going to degentrify the community and displace multiple families that are going to have to be moved in order to make room for this. So I don't think that Proposition B is good for our community. I think that all of these mass flyers that are going out that are saying that it's not going to cost us anything is a lie, or, you know, covering the wool over our eyes. We should have never torn down, you know, the Coliseum or the other one arena that we had downtown. And everybody says, oh, yeah, well, y'all voted for it. Well, that's the same thing that they're going to say about this 10 or 20 years down the line. Well, y'all voted for it. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling in, Laura. So talk about what Laura said, but also overall, Bobby, I mean, it does cost a lot now to go to a Spurs game and bring your family to a Spurs game. People have mentioned that a lot.
It has. I do want to hit Laura's point, though, about displacing of people. The property that we're talking about that's a subject to Proposition B is vacant today. There's nothing there. Nobody's invested any money in it. And we're trying to come in as a San Antonio company and invest over $2 billion into that section. With respect to game costs, here's today, there's some great opportunities. We have $25 tickets. We have $15 tickets. Victor has created a new Spurs fan section, and you have to take a look at it. It is a $990 season ticket for all year long. You got to wear a Spurs uniform, a Spurs jersey, and you have to go in and chant for the Spurs. You can't wear an opposing team's jersey. It's a lot of fun. That is an affordable ticket. Going forward in the future, we need to have affordable tickets for our community. We do the best in the NBA, and we're going to continue doing that.
Just don't wear that Spurs jersey to go vote.
Yeah, when you go vote.
That's right.
Let's go to Collie. Collie, is that right? You're on the air.
Coley.
Yeah, sorry about that. My mistake.
No problem. My question has to do with the increased hotel tax for visitors, but I'm a local resident. What if I want to do a staycation? Would I experience that same increased tax for staying at a hotel and visiting the downtown area as a staycation for my family?
All right. That's a good question. Is that something that people can opt out of? I know sometimes if you're out of town, you can get out of your local sales tax, you know, but how do you – that's not really an option these days.
No.
But I think you can get out of the car rental tax if you show that you're from downtown.
Yeah, show that you're from downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to the car rental tax, but Coley, I will tell you that the state rules, it applies. Hotel motel tax applies to Airbnb, and you have to pay a hotel motel tax if you're staying in San Antonio on a staycation. But when you rent that Airbnb in Fort Worth, Texas – they're taking that hotel motel tax, and they are building it a new arena right now in Dallas-Fort Worth area with this same funding source.
Let's go to Jeff. And Jeff, are you there? Okay. And all right. Who do we got next? Are we a little – all right. Alicia. Alicia, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say, like, what you just said about now I lost my train of thought. Talking about the $25 tickets, well, isn't that in the nosebleed section? And I can't even go there because that would give me a little nosebleed, literally. But so you spent $7 million on advertising to promote, you know, vote yes, well, vote yes. I'm a vote no, obviously. But you sent the coyote to the food bank. Did you give the food bank any money for our people in need? Because, you know, you're saying you want us to give money, right? These hotels, all this taxes and stuff, which is we're down. We know tourism is down. Is there's part of it that's stuff that could help our city. You know, our city is in debt, and they don't need to give you any money. Where you have the billions, why don't you spend that money to build this arena? But also, why don't you also help the community by donating to the food bank, to right, Meals on Wheels, to locals? How are you going to show us the money?
Okay, Alicia, thank you for your call. Appreciate your comments. And so, Bobby Pettis.
I would love to answer that. And Alicia, thanks for your concern. I will tell you, as a foundation, Spurs Give, we've contributed $30 million over the last 25 years to lots of nonprofits. But you asked about the food bank. We did probably $1 million to the food bank in, you know, the last 24 months. And they continue to be a target, you know, for us to help. We've got a great partnership with them. I would also add to the local community for jobs and partnerships. We try to target local-owned, minority, women-owned businesses, and we have done so for the last two decades to the tune of about $175 million. San Antonio is home. San Antonians are our partners. And I'd ask that you judge us on what we've done and how we've done it over the last 25 years to think about how we're going to do it over for the next 30 years. And we look forward to that continued partnership with our community.
And Trisha Berry, can you talk about how you've seen the Spurs? I mean, how are they as a community partner?
They've been a great community partner. I would tell you, even during COVID, when we had lines at the food bank, you had Spurs that were standing in line, helping to fill people's trunks. So they're a massive corporate philanthropy partner, not just when it comes to a time of crisis, but really even what we're seeing now in the space of benefits being reduced. As Bobby talked about, contributions to the food bank, you know, have been tremendous over the years and will continue. And I'm going to close, obviously, with not them just being a great community partner. But look at downtown with what's happening at the Alamo, the UTSA investment, baseball. You bring an arena in there. That brings density of people into downtown that creates demand for services and a small business ecosystem that helps everybody.
Trisha Berry, President and CEO of Centro SA, former Bexar County Commissioner, also with us, Bobby Pettis. with the Spurs organization and former council member, District 1. Thank you both for coming in the studio today, taking all these calls, answering questions about Proposition B. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.